Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you join us today as we spend time around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness to men and women in all their need.
Welcome you to our service today. I trust that as we worship the Lord, that the Lord will draw near and bless our hearts. Let's seek the Lord in prayer and ask for His help and for His blessing today. Our loving God and our Father in heaven, we thank you we can draw nigh unto Thee. We bless that Your ear is ever opened unto our cry. We thank you for the one who is our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. We approach unto Thee today through His name. We come through the merits of His atoning work. We thank you that in Jesus Christ we are accepted before God, and we're not only accepted, but we can know His blessing and we can know His help. We rejoice in all that Jesus Christ has done for our salvation. He is the one that has come into this world. He is the one that has lived and died to earn for His people eternal life. And we just rejoice today in our Saviour. We ask, Lord, as we gather to worship Thee, that we would know a conscious sense of Thy presence. Draw near to us, meet with us. Help us, Lord, even as we would read Your word and as we would listen to Your truth. Pray, O Lord, Thou would speak to every heart. Thou art the one that knows us better than we know ourselves. You know the need of every soul. We pray, O God, that by Thy Spirit Thou wouldst draw near, and Thou wouldst minister and Thou wouldst speak. We ask, Lord, that in all that is said and done, the Lord Jesus Christ would be glorified and honored. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. We're turning in God's Word to Psalm 34. Psalm 34 for our scripture reading. We want to read this entire psalm together. Psalm 34, verse 1 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. I sought the Lord, and He heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto Him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil, and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. Amen. May God bless the reading of his truth to each one of our hearts. Our second hymn is I Must Have the Saviour With Me. We're going to worship the Lord in the singing of these words. Words that I want to direct your attention to today are found in verse 8 of the psalm that we've read together. Verse 8 reads, O taste and see that the Lord is good, blessed is the man that trusteth in him. These words very clearly set before us the truth that the Lord is good. And so this is the subject that I want us to think upon for a short time, the great and the glorious truth that the Lord is good. The truth that the Lord is good is something that is very often overlooked and even denied in this world that has been so badly affected by sin. The evolutionary biologist and outspoken atheist Richard Dawkins has said, how could there be a good God when there is so much evil in the world? How could there be a good God when there is so much evil in the world? This is very often the argument that is raised by those who deny the existence of God. They proudly and arrogantly declare, if God exists and if he is good, Then why is our world so filled with suffering? Surely a good God would not allow people to be afflicted with terrible, debilitating diseases. A good God would not permit the evils of famine and warfare to cause such devastation and pain and suffering. A good God would stop all of the bad and unpleasant things that take place in our world. And so the presence of evil, the reality of suffering and misery in this world, is used to argue against and to attack the truth that God is good. Indeed, it is used as an attempt to try and disprove the very existence of God. However, when we think of the evil that surrounds us, the vital question we need to ask is, what is the reason for all of the suffering and misery? Who is responsible for the afflictions and troubles which are so common in this world? If God was responsible for these things, if the evils of our world could be traced back to his hand, then it would be an impossible thing to claim that the Lord is good. If these things were the results of his actions, then we couldn't say the Lord is good. What then is the reason and root cause of sorrow, suffering, and sadness in this world? Why do these terrible things exist? Is it because of the absence of a good God? Well, the Word of God, the Bible, gives us the answer. In Genesis 1 and the verse 31, read of the world that existed after God originally created it. And this is what it says. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was good. God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was good. And the word good here is a word that has a great depth of meaning. It literally means beautiful, cheerful, joyful, precious, and wealthy. When God spoke this world into being, behold, it was very beautiful. It was very cheerful. It was very joyful. It was very precious, and it was very wealthy. In other words, it was a place in which there was no pain, there was no evil, there was no sorrow, there was no affliction, there was no trouble. The world that God made was good. What then happened? What took place that so polluted and destroyed this perfect creation? What happened in this world? Again, we have the answer in God's word. This is what we read in Romans 5 in the verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Death and all the misery that is found in this world is the direct result of sin, of man's sin. This is the reason why our world is a place of pain and sorrow, because man has defiled and polluted it by his sin. All of the trouble and all of the afflictions that we meet with in this life can be traced back to man's sinful rebellion against his Creator. Therefore, the presence of evil in this world does not destroy the truth that the Lord is good. It doesn't destroy it. The opposite is the case. It brings us to see God's goodness in an even greater and more wonderful way. The Lord was good when he made this world perfect, and when man at the first lived in obedience to him, God was good then. Yet God is still good. And he's still good to men and women, despite the fact that they have wickedly sinned and rebelled against him. In this fallen world, where men live in defiance of God, his goodness shines forth all the more wonderful and glorious. The Lord, therefore, is good. I want us then to consider three things about the goodness of the Lord today. The first thing I want us to note is the richness of God's goodness. In Exodus 34 in the verse 6, we are told, the Lord God is merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness. Think of these words. The Lord God is abundant in goodness. The word abundant means vast. It really has the idea of more than is necessary. And the word goodness means kindness. This is the richness of God's goodness. His kindness is vast. Yes, it is beyond measure. All that God does is good. And this world is continually benefiting from the immense goodness of the Lord. Psalm 145 in the verse 9 declares, the Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. There is not a creature in this world that does not benefit from the richness of God's goodness. Yet, where we really witness the vast riches of God's goodness is in the manner by which he deals with sinful men and women. Remember, because of our sin, because we have sinned against God, we don't deserve the slightest molecule of God's goodness. The very opposite is the case. Romans 6 and 23 tells us, for the wages of sin is death. Wages are a just payment for the work that has been done. We receive wages for the work that we have completed. We earn wages. We merit them. Well, the just payment that man in sin is rightly owed is death. Eternal death. In that place, the Word of God calls hell. And this is what man deserves because of his sin. This is what he rightly deserves. But because God is good, he gives men and women space to repent and to turn from their sin and seek salvation in him. Because God is good, he is patient, and he is long-suffering with sinners. He doesn't immediately cut them off. He doesn't immediately destroy them in their sin. But he's patient and he's long-suffering. Numbers 14 and verse 18 says, the Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy. Dear sinner, you who have never turned to Christ for salvation, you need to know this. God, out of the abundance of his goodness, has been patient with you. He has given you time and space to repent of your sin and cry to him for salvation. He has given you life, and you continue to live because God is good, and he's merciful, and he's patient, and he's long-suffering. And despite the fact that for years perhaps you've rebelled against him and live in sin, defying his laws and his commandments, yet he continues to be patient with you and long-suffering, giving you opportunity to repent and to seek him for salvation. He is a good God. Oh, don't despise the richness of God's goodness towards you. Don't despise it. And so we see here the riches of God's goodness. But then the second thing I want us to note is the revelation of God's goodness. We know that God is good simply because God's word tells us here in Psalm 34 and verse 8, the Lord is good. And so the word of God is very clear. It reveals this to us. However, God has not only declared to us that he is good, but he has also demonstrated to us that he is good. He has manifested his great goodness towards men. Now, God has demonstrated his great and gracious goodness towards men in many, many ways. In fact, no matter what area of life you might consider, we meet with the goodness of God and his provision for men and women. James 1 and the verse 17 tells us, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father. It comes down from our Heavenly Father, from his hand. And so the revelation of God's goodness towards men is everywhere. We meet with it in every area of life. Nevertheless, as we think of how God has provided for man, we can summarize God's goodness into two different categories. In the first place, God, out of the abundance of his goodness, has provided for man physically. God has provided for man physically. All of the creature comforts, all of the good things that we enjoy in life, can be traced back to the loving and good hand of God. Acts 17 and the verse 25 reveals to us, God giveth to all life and breath and all things. Think about those words for a moment. The very breath that we breathe is that which God provides. The very breath that we breathe, God himself provides this for man. In Job 12 we are told, the soul of every living thing and the breath of all mankind is in the hand of the Lord. It's in the hand of the Lord. This is something which men and women need to recognize. All that they have in this world and all that they enjoy is simply because God has been good to them. And this is why we're so blessed. This is why we have all of the comforts of life. Not because we've gotten them for ourselves, but God has been good to us. He's given us life. He's given us breath. He's given us all that we enjoy in regard to these physical things. Sadly, many, just like the prodigal son, are unthankful and live in a total state of unthankfulness towards God. They never acknowledge God's goodness to them in this sense. And they even rebel against a God who's good to them. And they live in defiance of him, knowing his laws and his commandments. God, out of the abundance of his goodness, has provided for man physically. But then we can also say God, out of the abundance of his goodness, has provided for man spiritually. This is God's greatest provision for sinful men and women. This is where we see the revelation of God's goodness in all its glory, in God providing for man spiritually. Of course, the greatest need that men and women have is spiritual. It is to be saved. It is to have their sin dealt with and be ready to die. Be ready to meet God. This is the greatest need that man has. Many people think their greatest need is physical, maybe financial, or some other aspect in this world. But man's greatest need from the fall has always been spiritual. It is to do with his position in regard to his spiritual state. The reality is that man in sin is incapable of providing for his own spiritual need. This is the mistake that many make. They think that they can earn a place in heaven through their own efforts. There are many who think they can earn a place in heaven through their religious activities, through their devoutness. Others think they can earn a place in heaven by their morality, because they're respectable people, decent people, charitable people, law-abiding people. And they perhaps compare themselves to others who seem to flaunt the law and just live as they please and are disrespectful. And they think, well, you know, I'm a better person than that person is. Surely God will be happy enough to accept me. And so many people make the mistake that they think that they can earn a place in heaven through their own efforts. Yet if men and women could earn for themselves a place in God's heaven, if they could provide for their own spiritual need, then the Lord Jesus would never have come into this world, and he would never have given his life upon the cross. If men and women of people in this world could provide salvation for themselves, then Christ would never have died. Romans 5 and 6 tells us, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Here is the great and vast goodness of God on display. When we were without strength, when we were weak and helpless and couldn't save ourselves, what happened? Christ died for us. He went to the cross and took the punishment for our sins upon himself so that we could be forgiven, so that the punishment of our sin could be taken in him and we could be delivered. The truth is, the cross of Christ sets forth in the most bold and unmistakable manner the great goodness of the Lord. This is where it is revealed, in the Lord providing for our greatest need, and the Lord taking our place of punishment and condemnation and purchasing salvation for us. And so we have the revelation of God's goodness here. We have the riches of God's goodness. One last thing I want us to note, and that is the response to God's goodness. Think again of these words in verse 8 in Psalm 34. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. And responding to the goodness of God, two things are drawn to our attention here. In the first place, we are told to taste. Told to taste. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Tasting involves a taking. Tasting involves taking. If we were going to taste something, we would have to reach out and take it. We would have to claim it. Imagine you come into a room and there was food set out on the table and it looked very attractive. It looked very appealing. And you said to yourself, well, that looks very tasty. Well, looking at it, observing it, you could never taste it. You would have to reach out. You would have to take it, claim it for yourself before you could truly taste it. Well, this is what we need to do as we come face to face with God's goodness. With God's goodness as it has been manifested in Jesus Christ. We as sinners need to claim Jesus Christ as our Savior. We need to take the bread of life and receive him to be our Savior. This is what we read of in verse 6 here in this psalm. This poor man cried and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. What's the poor man doing? He's tasting. He's taking Jesus Christ as a Savior. And so we are told here in our text, we are to taste, but it also tells us we are to trust. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Or happy is the man that trusteth in him. In this world, everyone trusts in something. And that is so true. In this world of sin, everyone trusts in something. Even the atheist. Even the atheist trusts in something. The atheist trusts that there is no God. And this is what his hope is built upon. That there is no God. But God's word tells us, the person that will be happy, the person that will be happy in this world, and the person who will be happy in the world that is to come, is the person that trusts in the Lord. Comes by faith and trusts in Jesus Christ as their Savior. Trusts in him, for he has taken their sin. He has taken their punishment. He has provided salvation for sinful men. And he saves all that come unto him. This will be the happy person. Happy not only in time, but happy in eternity. I trust that you will come and you will taste and see today that God is good, that you will trust in him, and that you will accept him as your Savior. May God give you grace to do so for his own name's sake. Amen. Let's just close in a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that as we worship thee today, we worship a God who is good, a God who is gracious, a God who is loving, and a God who is kind. And we pray, O God, that as we have heard your word today, that none would turn their backs upon this good God, none would reject him, but each one would, by faith, taste and see that God is good. Give the gifts of faith and repentance. Lord, we pray that you'll work in every heart and bless your truth to us this day. These things we ask in our Savior's name. Amen and amen.
Thank you for spending some time with us today around the Word of God. For further information, visit our website at ltbs.tv. We look forward to joining with you next time as we seek to let the Bible speak once again.